When was the first time you ever asked yourself or asked the heavens or asked God, why me? Do you remember your first why me moment? I do. Thank you for clicking play. This is Salt here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what time it is where you are. I hope you're well. Today's Soul Talks is titled From Why Me to Surrendered Me. It's going to be as long as it takes, so if you're not in the mood for a long listen, then you may just want to jump off right here. I want to thank all my sisters . I really have some of the coolest sister friends on the planet who just instinctively know to just give me space. I love when they say to me, let me know when you want to talk, and not just assume that what I want to be doing right now is jumping on calls. I love that about them. So if you're listening to this, you know yourselves, thank you, because I really am not in that space. I thought I was getting there, but no. This is the only way that I really want to talk right now. And it's for me, it's to me, but it's also to you, dear listener. I'm just walking myself through how I've come from asking the why me question to just being in that place where I'm just like, Jesus, I surrender everything to you, my life, everything, my future, everything. Just take care of me, take care of everything. That's totally surrendered. And the more my heart takes in what my mouth and my mind are saying, the more peace I'm arriving at. Do you know my first why me question? I think I was probably 11, and I was standing outside the bus's office at school, secondary school, asking, why me? Why am I the one who has parents that can't pay school fees on time? Why me? Why me of everybody in my class? Why am I the one who still have to go to class in my own clothes, because my fees had not been completed, and so I had not been given school uniform? When was your own first why me question? How old were you? But that was kind of like a silly why me, really, to be honest. At the end of the day, my mom did send the fees through this lovely gentleman in the bus's office, who felt so bad for me coming there every day to see if my fees had been paid, that he actually went himself all the way to Agege, to my home, to collect the fees from my mom. Can you imagine? I'll never forget him. I can't remember his name, but I will never forget him. I think that was my first experience with a human angel. But isn't it funny it's usually after those why me questions that something miraculous happens. I think my next why me question was in university. I've stopped blaming myself for that incident. I remember for years and years, I would ask myself questions like, what were you thinking? Why didn't you just stay on campus? Why were you going back to your apartment so late? Blah, blah, blah. All manner of self-blame, you know. So why me? Why me? Why did I do this? Why did this happen to me? Well, it did. Well, I'm still here. I'm still standing. And I'm still rising above it all. If you've read Shirley's book, you probably know what I'm talking about. And I had the why me? Why me? Why me? Why am I losing my mom at 18? Why me? Why is this happening to me, my family? Goodness gracious. So many why me's. So many why me's. By the way, this is not a pity party podcast. Actually, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good for somebody who, for the past, how many months, from October through November, through January, February, I've gone through all kinds of vast doses of life. I've had family members pass on. I've had colleagues pass on. I have been shook with everybody else in Nigeria and the world, I believe, by the deaths of Mr. Herbert Wigwe and his wife, Mrs. Chizoba Wigwe, and his son, Mr. Chizi Wigwe. Everybody, I think, has been impacted by that loss. And then you have Mr. Ibu has also passed on. I mean, the guy gave us so many good laughs. There's so many memes with him that just make you laugh. And I'm sure you listening to me, I'm almost sure that you know of somebody who has passed on since this year started. This was not what we thought 2024 would look like, right? I definitely did not see it coming, panning out like this at all. At all. At all. And my prayer is that God, as He alone can, would comfort us all. Comfort us all. God is able to comfort when loved ones are lost. Only God. But you know something I've come to realize is that if we're paying attention, God is always preparing us for where He's taking us to. And I know many times we say this, but we say it more from the or something good is coming, or we're getting promoted, or we're going to, you know, step into higher levels, and we say that he's preparing us for that. But I think also, which is something we don't like because it's not enjoyable at all, is that many times without us knowing, he's also preparing us for the storms ahead. You know, I can't thank him enough for the way I entered or crossed over into 2024. Or was I expecting to deal with some of the things I've dealt with in the past 2 months? No, but him making sure that I joined the Covenant Nation crossover service, him making sure that I was as diligent as I could be about the Wolfbeck sessions, you know, him making sure that for some reason, even though in my mind I was really just downloading the Halo app because I really, really like Jonathan Roumie, the guy who plays the role of Jesus in The Chosen. And I say it again, if you've not watched any of that series, you need to go and check it out. So it was really because he's featured on the Halo app now. He does most of the readings and all, and there was this special Lent challenge coming up. And when I saw that and that he was going to be the one kind of like hosting it, if you like, I just downloaded it because it's Catholic. It's very Catholic forward. And I'm not Catholic, but I really didn't care as long as he was one that was going to host it. I didn't know then that was just the Spirit of God within me leading me to that app, because I kid you not. And you could go check it out, download it and check. Just go over the past 20 something days of the Lent challenge, and it's all built around the story of a father Chizik, can't remember his first name now, and everything he went through, the challenges he went through, trying to pursue his destiny, his purpose, if you like, in Poland or in Russia. Anyway, every time I listen to the daily challenge, it's almost as if these people know what's going on in my life and they've crafted this challenge for me. You know, that has got to be God, right? And it's thanks to that challenge that I began to leave behind my why me moaning and move more to a, you know what, it's okay. All these afflictions, all these challenges, this turbulence, this storm, whatever it is working out for my good. And because I trust in my Father in heaven, I trust his love for me, I know that regardless of anything, that God is still God, God is still good, and God still loves me and my family. And the same goes for you, regardless of whatever you're going through. Because we accept these truths, it takes us to a place where we're like, fine, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Just keep on taking care of everything. There's some days in the challenge where that's all you say over and over. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. It's so funny. It's so simple. But there's a peace that just washes over you as you say that over and over. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Take care of everything. Lord, I surrender my family to you. Take care of everyone. Lord, I surrender my future to you. Take care of everything. Lord, I surrender my finances to you. Take care of everything. Lord, I surrender my health and my wholeness to you. Take care of everything. Try it. You'd see us this kind of cloud of peace will just come over you. Anyway, so the Halo app and my notes from Wolfbeck and even my notes from sermons that Pastor Poju has preached since, you know, have really helped me during this season to move to this place of total surrender. I stopped asking myself, why me? I've stopped asking God to help me understand and instead just asking Him to help me trust Him more. Like that father in the Bible, I keep saying, Lord, Lord, I trust you. Help me trust you more. Lord, I trust you. Help me trust you more. Lord, I trust you. Help me trust you even more every day with everything. And it's just, it's still a journey. Just like healing from grief is a forever journey. Anyone who's lost a loved one will tell you that there's no destination. It's just, it's a forever journey, you know. And when you're like me and you have multiple losses to deal with, what happens is that the most recent one triggers the grief of all the ones in the past. You can't help it. It's just natural, you know. So even though you thought you've moved forward and you're healing better, no, it's kind of like the band-aid is torn off that wound and is just bleeding all over again, bleeding out love, because grief is the price we pay for loving people, you know. So I think grief is good, you know. It proves something, it shows something. So we shouldn't allow anybody to deprive us of our grief. It's just that we will grieve in a way that would not make it look as if we don't have hope for the future. We who are gods, we know that death is just a sleep. You sleep and you wake up into your eternal life, you know. So we don't grieve like those who don't have hope. But we grieve, and we should be allowed to grieve anyhow we want to grieve, for as long as we want to grieve. Like I've always said, nobody should legislate how you grieve and for how long you grieve, you know. But what was almost happening to me, that I thank God for His grace, because He helped me to jump and pass, if you like, was having this crisis of faith. You know, when loss happens, especially if it's loss for a loved one who was ill, and you know you were praying, and I kept saying to myself, I know prayer works. I have heard testimonies about people who are healed when prayer is prayed. I know God all by myself, that this thing is but a light walk for Him. But God in His sovereign will chose a different outcome for Himself. And it shook me, because my confidence was like through the roof, that no, this was going to be what I wanted, what my family wanted. So when we didn't get what we wanted, it shook me. But what I thought was being shaken, if you like, was my faith But then I realized it wasn't really my faith, because I still believe that God is God, God is good, and that He loves me. So then my faith was intact. What was shaking was my trust, because I wanted answers. I wanted to understand why. And once you want to understand why God does something, then you have stepped away from trusting God. Because sometimes He will answer you, but like He did for me, actually, He did in His graciousness. He answered my why question. He answered it, and I thank Him for that. But many times He doesn't answer. Like, I still have no questions as to what really happened to my sister. Surely He has not answered me on that. I don't know why. But I think more than even for Shirley's case, this most recent situation, I wanted to understand why God didn't answer our prayers. I wanted to understand why. And why would you make us have so much faith, so much belief, and not give us what we wanted? You know, many times we're called to trust God even when we don't understand, because His ways are not our ways. And He reminded me that, but you kept saying that I will give you my best, right? If you really believed that, then you must believe that I have given you my best. And as God will help me over time, a lot of crying. And once I realized, okay, it was a trust issue here, I relinquished the need to understand. And I felt better. But you know, it's funny, you know how, you know, when people say that you go through certain things, like for instance, Job, God was so confident in Job. That's why He sent the devil to him with so much confidence. Like, why will you single somebody out for the devil to go and be messing with? Hey, my life. I felt like that. And I remember when I was having those thoughts, I was saying, I don't have confidence in me. No, this is too much confidence. It's too much. I don't want you to have this much confidence in me, Papa God. But many of us, God looks down and He knows that we are His in spirit and in truth, that we desire to be His in spirit and in truth. We're not perfect. We have our issues we're dealing with and all of that. But He knows us, I guess, and He knows that He will never allow us go through anything that He knows will be too much for us. So if you're going through something, it's because God has the confidence in you that you would thrive through it. Oof. That you would grow through it. That you will come out refined through it. That your character will be built through it. That your heart will become more like His through it. There's one thing that is glaring to me in terms of how I see things now. One of them is that now more than ever, life is too short, because old people are dying, young people are dying. So how arrogant would I be to waste another day that God gives me? No. So every day I'm seeking to be about the business that God has put in my hands and not waste another minute. I've surrendered my time to God, and I'm asking Him to show me what we should be doing through this season. I received from God clarity on an initiative that the Shola Adefola Lugaska Foundation is going to be kicking off by the grace of God. Come May, we're in the process of registering it, or is it trademarking the name? I'm so grateful to God for this leading by Him, by God, because it's another way again that He's helping me to bring out purpose from pain. It makes me really happy, really happy. And watch this space. Eventually we will share. Nothing must be wasted. No affliction must be wasted. Dear sister, dear brother, no matter what you're going through in life, God doesn't do things to waste them. There's a purpose behind it. We may never understand. We may not like it. It may be crazy uncomfortable, to say the least. But if God is in it, He won't let you waste it. Just ask Him. Ask for guidance. Ask for clarity. He will lead you just the same way He's leading me. On the path of total surrender. What's money? What's money when there's no life? Everything is so difficult around everywhere. It's not just Nigeria, it's the globe. People are struggling. I love what Pastor Poju says. This is the time, even now more than ever, to have a charitable heart. To have a charitable heart. This is the time when what would make sense is for you to keep more for yourself. But the counterculture way, the way of the one who is surrendered to God's leading, is to actually go out there and help more. Help more. People need food. People just need. People are going through. I know personally I am feeling the pinch of it. But I am determined, as the Lord lives, that even if the giving of the foundation or my personal giving only increases a little bit, one thing that will happen is that it will not decrease. And what I've even noticed is that, you know, there's a way you can be going through something and you'll be so self-focused. It's all about you and what you're going through. God wouldn't let me. He won't let me. It's so funny, because it was after I'd finished focusing on myself and crying and fighting, advocating. It was at the end of it. It was like, okay, fine. Shebi, you have finished. Oh yeah, now come and do what I want you to do. This time, in the midst of it, He won't let me. He was like, no, my darling. In the midst of this stuff, you're going to be other people focused. And you see, God is so amazing, because He knows me. He knows His own. In that space, it's actually giving you a joy to help you deal with the grief and the sadness. Because it's such a blessing to be able to give and help people. There's a joy that leaps in your heart. And boy, oh boy, did I need something to give me joy. So I encourage you, dear one listening to me right now, even in your little space of your little, you can still touch a life. If you're determined to let the love of God that you have received flow out through you, then your love must be a verb. The love of God is a doing love. It's not just in words. it has to act. So my prayer is that every one of us, no matter what we're going through, we will not allow anything that happens to us, anything we're going through, block us up and make us a gutter. We are meant to be channels of the love of God. And sometimes in the flesh, you're going through so much that your channel just gets blocked up and turns into a gutter. But by the grace of God, that will not be you and that will not be me. He will continue to help us to reach out, even in our own down times, low times, grief times, sad times. One of the easiest ways to lift yourself off the ground is when you're lifting somebody else up, because you can't lift somebody up and stay down, right? You can't. If you're still here listening to this, I have to say thank you to you. This is really helping me. I hope something is helping you. It doesn't have to be a one-sided conversation. You can talk back to me either by listening, leaving a voice message or a post. I think there's provision for that now. You can chat back at me. When was your first why me? Are you going to let your love be a verb, regardless of what you're going through? Are you going to live out a surrendered life going forward? It's peace inspiring, I think. It's like how I feel now about even praying, you know. These days I pray. I was telling somebody, I had some, for the first time I managed to have a session with my psychological counselor. Yeah, is that what it's called? My counselor anyway. So I'd missed so many sessions. So I managed to jump on one virtually with her yesterday, and I was telling her that one of the biggest things I've taken out of this season is to always round up my prayers. And some of you may not agree, you may think it's just a cop out, but this is what gives me peace now, because I do not want to be blindsided again. Let me accept it up front that just like Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted the cup to be taken away from him. He prayed it 3 times, but every time, was it the final time, he then said, let your will be done. So it didn't stop him from praying what he wanted. But at the end of the day, he recognized that it's the will of God. If that's what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. So me too, now, when I pray, I end every prayer with, let your will be done. That's about as much as I can manage right now. Oh, do I still make my declarations? Do I still do my confessions? Do I still decree the March 2024 declarations that Covenant Nation has? Absolutely. But I always want to know that at the end of the day, I had upfront said to God, whatever your best is for me, let it be done. Because while I said that mentally, in recent times, I didn't accept it in my heart. So it was a huge shock when God's will played out. Okay.
guys, can I just round up by saying, one thing about us as we go on into the rest of this year, let's be very careful what we say with our mouths. I know I've said this before and I'm sure you've heard it over and over this year, but I want to make it specific to what we say with our mouths concerning Nigeria and what we say with our mouths concerning the men of God, the women of God out there in the body of Christ. We don't have any authority or right to complain or criticize any man or woman of God. I would advise that we all be very careful. Remember Aaron and Miriam, specifically Miriam, when they thought that they could be criticizing Moses, the man that God had chosen to lead the Israelites. I said to myself that maybe I would go and do a research as to what was the problem with the Egyptian woman. I'm guessing it was because the Israelites were not meant to marry foreigners, right? I'm guessing. I didn't do the research. My hand is up. So, technically, Miriam was right if she was vexing that their brother went out. I'm thinking if that's the cause. But did God care? Eh? Did God care? Eh? What did he do? He taught her a lesson. May God not have to teach any of us a lesson over this kind of matter. Leave God to judge his men and women all by his almighty self. This country, Nigeria, it will not give you the good of the land to eat if you continue to curse it and abuse it and all. It's all I'm saying. I won't say more than that. These are things me I've started telling myself, because I caught myself one time joining people to talk about this and that and why did this and why it's not good. No, Niger, never again. Me, Shemo, and the Holy Spirit will help me. It's not our business. Let us leave God to deal with his leaders. Let us be minding our business, living our surrendered lives, trusting God's love for us and our own, and living in a way that shows that he is our source. Well, this has helped me. Let me know if there was anything that you heard me say that made you grateful that you clicked play and made it worth your while to spend almost an hour with me. I think it's almost an hour. I hope something made it worth your while. Again, I want to thank all my sisters who I know are praying and all of that. Thank you again for just managing me in this season. To God alone be all the glory. To God alone be all the glory. To God alone be all the glory. Stay lifted, dear sister, dear brother. And no matter what, hold on to your saltiness. As we hold on to our saltiness, God will help us. Nothing will trample us under feet. Nothing will trample us under feet. Because God's got us, this thing called life, we've got it. Shalom.